Our scripture this morning comes from two places, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 to 18, and Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 25. Reading first from Thessalonians. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil. But always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And from Hebrews. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I wonder if you've ever noticed that the science of the Bible is so advanced. Consider words. They're more than just utterings. There was a science experiment done at an elementary school where a grade 6 student bought 2 identical plants from the same nursery. They took them to the classroom and put them on the same windowsill, just a couple feet apart. And they measured out the water so each plant was received the exact same amount when it was watered. Their care for the plants was identical. The one thing that was different, though, is every morning, every student would go to the plant A and say wonderful things to the plant. They would say things like, "You are such a beautiful plant. Your leaves are so green. You just look so lush and healthy. We're so glad you're in our classroom." And then they would go to the other plant, plant B, and they would say mean things to that plant. "You're an ugly plant. You kind of have a yucky color green. Your stems look too thick. I wish you weren't in our classroom." That was the only difference between the two plants. In 1 week, there was a visible difference. The plant who had been spoken kind words to was very lush and healthy and strong, but the other plant was wilting, and it was diminishing its color. It was kind of getting a little yellowish, and it looked very unhealthy. Although the care of the plants was identical, the only difference was what was spoken to it, the power of words. Imagine that effect on a child or even on an adult. You might remember that schoolyard rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Seems that it was wrong. It seems that what we say has a huge impact. So long before we developed the science to understand the power of words, Paul, 2,000 years or so ago, is directing us to consider our words. In today's text, Paul is telling the church to encourage one another because he knows what we say matters. Our words have power. James knows this as well, and he writes about this in his New Testament book. What we say matters and it matters a lot. When we talk about our words, what often comes to mind is James's verse, or chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "No one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison." And sadly, some people use this as an excuse to say whatever they want because, well, no one can tame the tongue. It's just how I'm made. This may be true for those in the world, but for those of us who are children of light, we have the Holy Spirit in us, which means we can't use that excuse because we should be speaking from the overflow of what is in our hearts. That's what we're told in the Gospel of Luke. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Want to know what's in your heart? Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Listen to these verses about words, all from the book of Proverbs. "A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." Encouraging others is building them up in confidence, inspiring them, urging them to continue on in their pursuits. Who has encouraged you? Maybe it was a parent, maybe a sibling, maybe a teacher, or an employer, or a friend. Can you remember that time, or hopefully many times? And how did you feel when someone was encouraging you? My family for a lot of years called Dundas Street United Church in Woodstock our home for like 20 years. And while we were there, I was encouraged from my pastor and from the congregation to pursue a call in ministry, something that was not in my radar, but something God prompted them to say. See, when we speak from the overflow and encourage someone, God can use our voice to direct the one he loves. Most of us can hear the outside voice with a lot more clarity than we can hear that still inner voice that God often speaks to us through. As we mature as Christians, we get better at hearing God's promptings. But for the most part, God uses outside voices to influence us, to encourage us into the direction he would like us to go. Encouraging words also help to build character in a person, especially when we encourage them around some matters of integrity, when they've done the right thing, especially if it was hard, and if the consequences of their doing the right thing cause them some trouble, because that happens too. But when we encourage them, we help to build their character. Too often, we stand as critics, assessing others, critiquing what they've done, and saying what we would have done in their situation based on our own criteria. Currently, our society seems to love posting videos of people at their worst, and it provides entertainment for other people. Where is the light and love in that? As the church, we need to stand differently. We need to be bringing light and love through encouraging words. And it's really a lot of fun. When we encourage others, it's like lighting a spark in them. And if they have a tiny little spark and we encourage them, it's like fanning that for them into a bigger flame. We can change the direction of someone's life through encouraging words. It's part of the purpose of why we gather. It tells us in Scripture that we gather, yes, to worship God, but also to build one another up and to spur us on to good deeds. That's what the passage in Hebrews says. We need to consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds, encouraging one another. Sadly, many Christians have left the church because of thoughtless words or deeds of another. People don't leave the faith because of Jesus, at least very rarely. But they leave the church because of hurtful words and actions of other believers. Maybe you've experienced that before. Maybe you have some church-inflicted wounds of the past. And if that is the case for you, I thank you for recognizing the value of being here even in that pain. Because when we are encouraged to consider Christ and what he has to say about us, healing happens. We begin to listen to the right voice. The voice of love, the voice of light. And we're not defenseless against the words of others. Paul says that we who live in the light are protected by the armor of faith and love and wear the helmet of our salvation with confidence. Which means when someone says something against you, their words fall flat because you already know what God thinks of you. And that's the only opinion that matters. So you have a defense against being wounded in your heart. Their harmful words can't take root in you because of your confidence in Christ. This is called a victory ground. And that's where we stand. And it's from this ground that we can speak powerful, encouraging words to others. Because we know who we are in Christ, we can share with others who they really are. And from this ground, we shine this marvelous light of Christ. Our encouraging words will motivate others toward love and good deeds. And these deeds will cause others to glorify God. And it all comes back to words. So let your words shine light. Let your words be an encouragement to all who hear them. After all, we are told that let everything we say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Let that be our standard. Go now as a light to the nations. Honor the Lord. Live out what you know of the risen Christ and fulfill all righteousness. And may God strengthen you and bless you with peace. May Christ Jesus bring forth justice for you and among you. And may the Holy Spirit alight on you and affirm you as God's beloved ones. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.